I got a YouTube video in my Google News feed that was talking about how we're going to finally start reviewing, you know, Iron Man. I can't remember what they called it. And basically, it looks like they're going to review the Christopher Cantwell Iron Man series, one with the Alex Ross covers.
Okay.
Since I think it's like 25 issues because his run's coming to an end or just came to an end. So they're going to start
doing
it.
They're all launching another series now. Now, but why would there be a countdown specifically to the Cantwell issues? What's so significant about them?
Well, I think that they started with the number one. They went to like one, from 1 to 25.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm still not following though. It's like, so have they been reviewing them monthly, or you said
no,
they were just starting to?
I think they were going to start reviewing them.
Right.
Now that the run is over, they're going to start like...
But like, do they normally read Iron Man runs, or they just randomly pick this one run?
No. I think they might even do like voice acting of the issues too.
Oh, okay.
I didn't actually watch the fucking video. Okay. But anyway, I scroll down to the comments and everybody's like, fucking finally, I love this series. This is like a rejuvenated Iron Man. I've been waiting for so long for you guys to do this, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go to Amazon. I was like, well, you know, I've been wanting to pick up some of the newer Iron Man stuff. So I go to Amazon. I look at the trades and they range from like 10 to 15 bucks. But on eBay, they're cheaper. But they've all got like 4.5+ stars, 100+ reviews, all seem pretty, you know. And the reviews on Amazon are not, for comics, are usually not bot filled. If you're going to buy a tool or some shit on Amazon, you got to be really careful. But comic books, I don't think there's bots filling up comic book review sections. So I was like, all right, maybe, you know, I can like check these out. So then I read a couple other reviews and they were talking about how, you know, the run's been really good and stuff. So I bought a couple of the trades. I bought 3 of the trades on eBay. I found one for like $8, one for $10, like slightly used, right? And then like, as soon as I get done, another search of mine gives me another YouTube video and it says like, praise God, Chris Cantwell is gone from Iron Man. And it was nothing like, it was like absolutely killed this run where they were like, we can finally pick the book up again. This has been the shittiest run of Iron Man since anybody can remember. And it's just like the worst shit ever. And I was like, oh no. But anyway, if it's bad enough, maybe I'll do like a little mini podcast series on how.
Well, I mean, because I actually have an interest in this run because
it's the Hellcat.
Hellcat stuff, yeah. And I've been wanting to get back to doing Hellcat stuff again because I bought a bunch of shit about this character and then proceeded to almost exclusively do Marvel Superheroes episodes on media and no more comic books for the longest time. And it's definitely something I don't feel great about because like every motherfucker on the planet talks about Marvel media at this point. It's just that, I wanted to do the Marvel stuff with good intentions, and part of it was just like one of the main people that I was listening to was Fire and Water, who did mostly DC stuff, and it's like, well, you don't want to cover the same ground as them, so we'll just do Marvel stuff. But you know, as the Marvel machine got more and more omnipresent, because we started the show with Guardians of the Galaxy, at that point the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe was still something of an underdog. They were only getting like 1 or 2 movies out a year, so it was a different landscape where now they like are literally like probably the biggest IP in the world right now. I don't think they're gonna stay that way for a lot longer the way things are tracking, but it just got so overwhelming and like it just gave me a head fuck because it's like, why am I devoting so much of my energy to propping up one of the biggest corporations in the world? You know, it's like, this isn't what I wanted to sign up for. But I as I've been thinking about it, like, we've been doing so little Marvel superhero stuff lately, and so much of it has just been to the movies, and it's like, sometimes I just want to go and read a run of the comic books, you know. And I'm still buying Marvel stuff. I've got stuff on my shelves to talk about. You know, when we were first starting the podcast, the idea was to talk. What the fuck's that? Did you hear that?
I just heard a slight like clip.
Yeah, that was weird. You know, I have comic books to read. So it's like, and if you're reading some of the comics, we don't necessarily have to read the same comics, but there's an instance where I would at least skim to see what the Patsy Walker content is. So yeah, if you're, especially since you've already made a commitment to buying them, they're already like, have they actually arrived, or are you still waiting for them?
Are in transit.
They're in transit.
But they have been purchased.
So let's at least take advantage of the fact you've got comic books. When was the last time you bought a comic book?
About Hard Boiled.
Okay. Yeah, you did pick up Hard Boiled. Did you read it yet?
Not yet.
You still have
not
an issue that you're missing, right?
No. That one finally showed up.
Okay.
So I got it all in.
So we need to do that because that's one thing too, is I think that for the most part, we are officially out of Under Guides material. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do fewer recordings is I had so many fucking recordings in various positions of being useful that it's like, I don't want to record more shit until I can start getting some of the old shit out the door and be done with it. But there is nothing else in the tank. Somewhere I've got a recording of you talking about what was it, Trish? Was it the one, the Top Cow thing or the Aspen thing? Trish Out of
Holy
Water or
shit.
Something?
What?
Yeah, you read Trish Out of Water, which was like an Aspen dollar book.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know where the fuck that recording is, because I tried to throw it into the last episode just so that you would have more to do in that episode, because it's mostly me and a little bit of Fix It, and then you, like, at the very beginning, the very end of that's pretty much just like, well, maybe I can find Trish out of water. I don't know where the fuck that recording got to. I have some ideas, but it would require me to go through like 90 minutes of material to find like the 3 minutes where we talked about that. So it's like, okay, well, we can start doing Underguide stuff again. And I don't know if you realize, it's been 5 years since we talked about the Metamorphosis Odyssey.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a whole lot of Starlin stuff to get through. You've, in the time since, bought the omnibuses that Omnibus put out a few years ago. So it's like, so that's like a priority for me. But you also just read Brat Pack, and Fix It wanted to do Brat Pack. And I don't remember if he read it also recently. So now I'm the one who needs to read it. So I will do that like this week probably, so that I'm ready to go whenever we can actually get together again and talk about it. But it has to be all three of us for that one.
Yeah, well, and then I just helped kickstart the new Dreadstar that's coming out. So I think they're gonna ship that shit soon. So I'll now have two like new volumes of Dreadstar that I haven't even cracked a cover.
Right. Yeah. So we need to incentivize getting through that. There's a lot of material, and I want to read through that myself. And even if we skip like the Peter David stuff and go straight into the new Jim Starlin stuff, but we need at least like we haven't even introduced the cast of the books that you're buying now. So definitely want to do that. I thought about trying to do that tonight, but the thing is, you really have to talk about the printing on those, because these, especially the early ones, have been through so many different printings in so many different formats. We really need to like have that in front of us so that we can talk about those variances. So it didn't make sense to me to do that over the wire.
You could do a whole episode on the Amazon reviews of Dreadstar.
Oh yeah,
there are some wild, scathing Christian reviews of Dreadstar.
Oh yeah.
But again, we gotta get to Dreadstar to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think it was Amazon. Now I have to go find those weird fucking reviews that I saw.
Now the one thing though, since you just read Brat Pack though, if you're concerned about like it leaving your memory, then if you wanted to like monologue on that, and I can record it, and then we have it for posterity in case it doesn't like, if like there's any points you might miss or you know later on because you forgot them because it's not fresh in your mind anymore. So did you want to do anything like that, or you want to just wait and we'll talk about it together?
No, you know what? I'm kind of still thinking about it. I mean, I've finished.
Yeah, it's not a marinade a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I'm sort of digesting what I read, and that's not a good or bad if somebody's right. You know, this actually makes a podcast before we talk about Brat Pack. I'm not trying to give up my hand of what I thought about it at all, but it's really not a complicated story, mm-hmm. right? There's not layer upon layer, but I still am trying to sort of process. I was immediately checking, like, when did this come out? What predated it?
Mm-hmm. What was context?
Right. What did it beat? What was going on in 1990 and shit like that? So that's the kind of stuff I'm still trying to think about. But yeah. I won't have any problem remembering this comic.
Well, that, and also there's the context of Veitch's storytelling too. Like, I gotta see if like the one is part of that greater King Hell, you know, story arc. You know, like there's a bunch of they're not interrelated, I don't think, but they're like thematically related in some ways. And so I don't know if reading like the one or Max Immortal would it enrich that at all. So it's like, so that's another thing I had to factor in too, is like, well, should I go in our, you know, I didn't do research a little bit to see what else I need to read, because obviously the Brat Pack is the one that I'm most concerned about. That's the only one that I read as it was coming out, rough, more or less. And I definitely have like 1990s thoughts on that. And then I would also want to bring 2020s thoughts to that as well. So we'll hit it soon.
And that's, okay, so since you said it, that's what I'm trying to process. Mm-hmm. Cause there's some stuff in that comic book that is like, it's obviously doing a type of commentary, but now I don't know if the commentary is dated, mm-hmm. or the commentary is relevant, or if the commentary is extremely offensive. That's where I'm trying to process. You know, anyway. So
yeah.
Anyway,
you've picked up some of the Marvel omnibuses and Epic collections and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I love when they put in like the old Marvel Age articles and House Edge and all that kind of bullshit. Like when they're going to start coming out with the ROM omnibuses, and I'm buying that in part because the rights issues is like, this may be the only time you can ever get this shit again, especially in a good quality format and everything. And I want to get all the extra shit, like the guest appearances and different books and all that kind of stuff. So that's part of it, is I want the complete package. It's not, I've got the original comic books, but I want the extra, all the cool extras.
So that'll cross over like into X-Men when Storm lost her powers.
Yeah, that time period, because the Dire Wraiths is this weird situation, because you read the ROM stuff that IDW did, right?
Well, actually, it's funny, I just bought all that stuff a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
And did you read the old rock comics from Marvel?
Not too many, but I definitely got introduced to the Dire Wraiths during that X-Men run.
Yeah, they were really cool. And the thing of it is, it's one of those weird situations like the Micronaut, where Marvel generated a bunch of imagery and some concepts for ROM when they had the comic book, and they continued owning that stuff, just like they owned the character of Bug from Micronauts and Marionette and such. So, like, whenever IDW got the rights to do their own versions, they couldn't use a bunch of the characters that are familiar from the Marvel comics because Marvel still owns them. And ROM, the concept of Dire Wraiths was built into the packaging of the toy, and so you knew that they ROM fought Dire Wraiths, but the specific design is still owned by Marvel. So when IDW did the series, they had to come up with their own redesign of the Wraiths, and they were much less interesting because the Dire Wraiths were always kind of like alien xenomorph knockoffs, but by making them all bloated and with the weird tongues and shit, it made them different enough so that you didn't feel like they were total knockoffs. But when IDW did it, they were closer to being xenomorphs, and it just wasn't as interesting to me. So it's just a weird situation because it's like you can only get the specific flavor of Marvel ROM from Marvel, because even the expanded universe stuff, they still own. Like, I don't know if you remember, but in the early 2000s, Jim Starlin and Chris Bautista did a miniseries called Space Knights, and that was all about ROM stuff. They just didn't have ROM because Marvel owned the rights to all the Space Knights they created, just not ROM himself. So just a lot of weird shit like that.
I remember there was going to be a toy of the Dire Wraiths in a Toy Biz. When Toy Biz had Marvel Legends, they were going to do an all villains wave.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them that was going to be in there, but he got nixed.
Well, I think part of the problem is the mold. Unless they're trying to recycle like the Blob or something, you have to have a unique mold for the Dire Wraiths. They're not built like anybody else, so I don't know. And then, of course, you also might have some issues with Hasbro, since they might say, well, we own Dire Wraiths, or maybe they could call them Dire Wraiths on the packaging or some shit because we have the trademark. I don't know. There's all kinds of weird legal shit. And again, that's why I want the omnibuses now, because I'm not confident they'll be able to do that again.
Gotcha.
And you see, with ROM, I always dug the concept. My brother was always picking up ROMs, and I'd like flip through or read his. And of course, it's Bill Mantlow. So there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm interested in, but it's not like I was ever like a hardcore ROM guy. It's just that the scarcity, the FOMO aspect, and B, to the degree that I did read the stuff, it was pretty interesting, and I always wanted to read through that run, so this is a great opportunity.
When is the omnibus coming out?
I believe I've already ordered it, but those things always get solicited like months in advance, so I don't think it's going to actually arrive until like January or some shit.
Okay. I just sent you a picture of the Dire Wraith figure.
Okay, let me see. Sorry, I heard it. Oh, you sent it by phone.
Yeah.
I was trying to find it in the Skype chat. That's what always does. Oh, fuck.
I'm too dumb to do that.
Dude, that is fucking rad, man. That's a real one or that's a custom?
No, that was going to be that's the unreleased figure. That's the prototype.
And it's clearly, this is entirely original then, right?
Yeah. Well, it was when Toy Biz owned Marvel Legends before Hasbro bought Toy Biz.
Yeah. So. God damn, I would have fucking bought the shit out of that one. You know, I'm very, very, especially with Marvel Legends and any of the Marvel stuff, I almost never buy any of that shit. You know, it's got to be really, really specific shit. I've got like the Bishop. I've got the Death's Head, both Death's Head and the Minion figures. Just a very few figures, but I'd have bought the shit out of that Dire Wraith.
I've been waiting for them to make a Death's Head one.
They did. Oh, yeah. I mean, sorry. I've got the what is it, 3 3/4 or
yeah,
4 inches, something like that. Yeah.
I have that, but they need to make them in 6. And I have a 3D printed head that's perfect, but I just don't do 6-inch stuff anymore. So. Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I couldn't pass it up. You know, I just have too much affection for Death's Head. So we've talked about stuff that we can't talk about. I want to talk a little bit more about stuff that we need to talk about in the relatively near future. Still, you there?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I was at the Brat Pack wiki page and I found out there's two endings.
Oh, yeah?
There's an original ending from the actual issues from the original 5-issue miniseries, and then the trade paperback had a new ending that Veitch wrote.
Did they replace it, or is it in addition to?
It's kind of, I think it's an, yeah. It's like an extended ending from as far as just skimming it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I read in the 5 issues you gave me was the extended. So I'm trying to tell it.
Or not the extended. I'm trying to figure out. I give you the actual issues. So if you're saying they added something to the trade paperback, then you would have missed out on some stuff, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Well,
did they take stuff out?
Skimming this, what I'm seeing in the trade paperback ending looks longer, but was included in the issues we had than what, hold on, I'm still reading. Hold on. I mean, you've read this before, right? So I'm not going to
You're not spoiling anything. It's just been a long ass time.
Yeah. So it says, original ending. Storm storming the bombed out remains of the church, Father Dunn, about to hang himself, finds a bag of a note telling him to open it. Inside he finds Dr. Bashmi's hood, which he puts on as he hangs himself. The Black October go to the bell tower and find him hanging, quickly realize that he doesn't have the full costume of their enemy. Suddenly the electrical storm reaches peak. True Man returns long last. The hero murders his former friends and teammates by trapping them under the bell church, which he melts on top of them. As King Rad tries desperately to reach his faithful butler for help, the final shot shows the church in ruins as the radio declares a state of emergency and tells everyone to stay indoors until the lightning storm is over. That was not the final ending of the five issues you gave me.
Okay.
So this says, pointing out how utterly corrupt Black October is, man, maybe this was different. Maybe they just left this off of the five issue one, because the end of the book is it's revealed that Dr. Blasphemy was King Rad's butler.
Mm.
But it doesn't say that in what I just read. It does say that in the trade paperback ending. But now I'm wondering if they just forgot to include that up top and there's something in between. Anyway, something to do more research on. Okay. Later, if either of us remember to go back.
Well, I'll probably, just knowing if there's a difference between the two, I'll probably try to open both up if I can. But I got to see two. I don't know if I have a physical copy of Brat Pack. I think the ones that I have their physical copies are with you. And I'm pretty sure Fix It has a physical copy. So it's like, well, I'll have to work all that out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean,
because I think I got the Brat Pack as a pack from like Bedrock, right?
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah, because my original issues are long gone. And I don't think I ever had it in trade paperback.
Yeah, I'll bring this up again when we actually talk about it. I was worried five issues from 1990. I was afraid that they were going to be like extremely word heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a nice balance. It was a nice, meaty read without me feeling like I read a fucking textbook every single issue, like a fucking Claremont shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't feel like I finished it in like 3 minutes and was like, that was it. So anyway, interesting. I gotta figure out if I could find fucking a copy of these two endings so yeah. I can see via picture.
I'm sure you can find it online. I don't know if you feel strongly enough about it to want to have a physical trade paperback, so you know, we find it online or something probably.
Yeah.
So stuff to definitely address in the very near future is the Blade 50th anniversary is going to be next month, so you know, whatever Blade media you'd like to expose yourself to before then, I would recommend getting started on that. Because as you know, I already went through all that Blade stuff last year, but there's still some comic stuff I'd like to read through, so I'd have more of a comic book angle on it. But definitely, we need to be prepared to talk up Blade next month. And then the 40th anniversary of V will be in May, and like the first week of May. So if you wanted to rewatch that miniseries for discussion purposes, that would be recommended.
Yeah, I remember V freaked me out as a kid, so where can I watch that miniseries?
I believe it's on available streaming. I'm not sure which service it is, but I'm confident it's available for streaming right now. It might be something like Tubi or Freeview or something, or it might be one of the non-commercial ones, but I'm confident it's out there. Worst case scenario, I have the physical discs, so I can always kick that your way.
It says it's on Prime. Let me see. No, yeah, if you buy it. I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah.
Everything's quote-unquote on Prime.
Right.
If you pay for it. Thanks a lot, fucking assholes.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to have the option, though. Sometimes it's like, well, I can't find anywhere else on enough service I'm already paying for. I'll go ahead and pay for it to see this one particular thing. I'm glad you at least have it available to me, because really the only two that really seem to do that are Apple and Amazon. So I'm glad to at least have the option. But sometimes even they don't have shit. You know, I've definitely looked at some stuff recently, especially old stuff from the 30s, where it's just not available. You know, you got to go find a DVD or something. Or like, you know, MeTV. Try to find the MeTV schedule and shit.
Right.
See if Spinghoolie's covering it.
Or if it's on Internet Archive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should check Internet Archive more. I forget about that. Especially with shit that's fallen out of copyright. That would make sense. Because I'm often checking for like YouTube and shit, but they're kind of spotty when it comes to some of this stuff. So
it's all in Internet Archive.
Yeah.
They've got it right here. Quality looks pretty good too. How many episodes was it?
It's movies, because you've got the two movies that debuted the premise. Then you have the three movies that are the final battle. And it's only once you get to the TV show that you have episodes. And even then it's only like 15 to 18, I think.
It looks like 19.
19? Okay. I'm wondering if maybe that 19th one is something else.
It says season 1 episode 19, The Return.
Okay, maybe it is 19 episodes. It just, for some reason, that number, I know it was under 20, but I really felt like it was a little bit more under 20 than 19, but I could be be mistaken. Now, I'm not recommending going to the TV series, though. Pretty much nobody likes the TV series, so I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay, so this guy says in the comments, this is not the miniseries. The fact that it has 19 episodes gives it away. This is the sequel to the miniseries, The Final Battle, which was just the sequel to the original miniseries. Uh-huh. So maybe this was like, didn't they do one in like the 2000s or some bullshit?
No, but it wouldn't be that either, because that's largely unrelated. They basically just, it's a total reboot. It keeps the same basic premise, but otherwise it's different characters, different vibe, different look. So no, I think that what it is, they're just being really weird about saying that it's a TV series, you know? Because yeah, I mean, this is all TV. There's never been a cinematic V. So it's like you got the two TV movies, then you have three TV movies, and then you have a TV series. So I think they're just saying weird shit about what the TV series is, because the phrasing on that is odd. Almost like maybe that's English as second language kind of, you know, reference, because we understand, simply put, it's the TV show, you know?
Right.
TV movies, TV show, okay? It's the TV show.
When I search up the title for season one, episode one, it's Liberation Day, which is what these say. It says season one, episode one, Liberation Day. And then it says aired October 26, 1984. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And that tracks, because if I remember correctly, I watched several of the early episodes while I was traveling, because I had ripped the DVDs for easy access, and I watched a few of them, but I didn't keep up with it, unfortunately.
Okay, this guy says, in case of confusion, this is the series of V after the two-part miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be how I'd put it either. It's like the first one was two parts. It's five parts, but two of them were two TV movies, and then the other one was three TV movies. That's the way you'd think about it if you only knew it from like DVD. You only knew them as collected edition. So one of them youngins.
Got it. Okay. Well, at least I know this is out there. Mm-hmm. I seriously doubt my wife ever watched fucking V. There's no chance.
And again, it's one of those deals where anybody who is just likes a good story should like the first miniseries. The second one is so action oriented that it's more like, you know, more genre. But I think just anybody can watch the first two movies and be happy with that. You know, even if you just watch that and then don't progress, that's still a good story.
So here's one that says V, the original miniseries, part one, and it's an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds right, because that would have been enough time for commercials.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've seen all of the old miniseries, because didn't you used to watch it on TV when they'd serialize it over a week on UHF?
Yep. When they were eating mice out of fucking dumpsters and shit, it freaked me out.
Mousy. You're mousy.
The fuck am I watching? I'm not sure I've seen every single episode.
Sure.
It was TV in the 80s / 90s, right, where you could easily, you know. It wasn't on the DVR.
Yeah, you might have missed the night. Yeah.
Anyway, so I bought Iron Man comics. They might suck and piss me off, but whatever.
Yeah.
A reaction's a reaction, right?
Well, and also, too, it's one of those deals where it's like, did they tear it apart in terms of continuity and stuff that you're familiar with? Or is it more like, you know, them not liking the direction, you know, or something else? Like, why did this chick take over half my book? Yeah, that kind of bullshit.
That some of it did sound like, why is this chick taking over half the book? But also sounds like she just makes Tony Stark a pussy and just like bosses him around, and the dudes really did not like that. So again, I'm not writing it off. I'm like, I wasn't like trying to cancel my eBay order.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It honestly might have made me a little more curious if it's really that bad.
Right.
You know, you don't want everybody to be saying it's all great or anything. So.
Well, it's not going to be like, you know, when Joe Quesada was doing it and shit, you know, it's like, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, I can't imagine, but you know. Oh, I mean, is it possible? Is this some of the shit where he was like adopted and all that stuff?
No, that was before.
Was that before?
I want to say that was Kieran Gillen who was doing that.
Okay.
Because I think that was when they brought in Arnold Stark, and I think somewhere in there they got Deathshead involved and stuff. So yeah, that was a completely different run.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm pretty divorced from a lot of the monthly comic books these days. I was much better about keeping up with DC for years. You know, even when I wasn't buying the books, I was still reading all the solicitations. And I don't read pretty much any of the big two solicitations now unless I have any interest in buying that particular, like, I'll read the trade solicitations if I want to buy those. But as far as month to month, I don't. But again, because they, you know, just the imagery alone, it's like, okay, well, Hellcat's in these stories, and kind of just curious to see, well, what are they doing with this? Also, anytime Alex Ross is doing covers, I don't know. It's weird to me. I just feel like he works better at Marvel. Something about DC, he's too specific in how he paints people. And I think that the DC characters need to be more iconic. And when it's like all of his buddies acting as the models for the characters, it just loses me. With Marvel, it just works better to have them more defined, more human, more realistic. He's been doing a lot of Marvel comics covers over the recent years, and it just feels like a good fit.
Get away with a great deal.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. Iron
I'm
Man.
I was bringing up that video, so that's all.
Okay. Like Iron Man, all that shiny metal he's good at doing. I've loved his Black Panther covers. He's done a bunch of stuff. I think he had a run of Avengers maybe at one point or something, but it's good looking stuff. So it definitely caught my attention when he was doing that.
Yeah, like, it's so funny. These two YouTube videos are like literally the title is 2-year Iron Man nightmare is over. Can't well run ends. Like, fucking, that's fucking brutal, dude. It was just so funny. I didn't.
Well, one of the things you can do is you click on the video and you look at the other recommended videos, and if anything references like Critical Drinker, then you know they're assholes. Or Midnight's Edge or any of those fuckers that are just constantly, perpetually incensed about something.
This guy's thinking critical.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular one.
Yeah, he's got like 26,000 followers. I mean, it's not bad on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, no, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. There's a whole bunch of guys who are like way into Jordan Peterson that will watch shit like that.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just comment after comment saying, you're on it, dude. This shit's fucking horrible. Meanwhile, I click over to the other one. About time you guys covered this. I love these so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good back to basics run for Iron Man.
Well, and the thing of it, too, is it can definitely go either way, because the guys who hate all fucking women, all fucking colors, only want straight white dudes and everything, they are definitely obviously schmucks. But then also the people who are like fucking Rainbow Commission, polyphonic spree up with everybody. Oh, we put a woman in here. It's so awesome. It's so much better now that we have a woman involved with the books. And it's like, yeah, but does it respect the continuity? Does it expand upon the mythology? It's like, oh, but look, the chick, there's a woman. So it's like, you can go either way. They're both sort of like these weird basic people where just doing stories that reflect their politics is enough for them, right? As opposed to it actually being good stories that advances the characters and shit. So I don't know. It remains to be seen.
This was Comic Storian that did this one.
Okay.
2.87 million subscribers. So
okay.
I don't know what that means.
See, I honestly think that you can have more. I think when you get into the millions, you're less likely to be in one of the polemics. You know, I don't think you get to the millions unless you're like really famous for being a polemic person, or if you are objective enough to where you can get a broad audience. Because that's one of the things these guys always forget, is that when you just hunker down into a particular worldview, you're always going to alienate half your fucking potential audience, and so that keeps your numbers down. Where if you can say, well, this was good, this was bad, and be objective about it, you can build a proper, you know, good numbers.
No. You got to go full one way.
Mm-hmm.
You got to Howard Stern it, where you have all the people that hate watch you, and then you have the people who are like cultishly following you. That's the way it goes. And then you end up feeding off your own followers, which drives you down the rabbit hole. The next thing you know, you're fucking Alex Jones.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So you know what's weird, though? This dude's got 2.87 million subscribers. This video only has 9,000 views and has 39 comments.
Right.
How the fuck is that? How do you not accidentally get more than 9,000 views with 3 million subscribers? Holy shit.
Oh, bots maybe?
Maybe this run sucks. I don't know if you get follower bots on YouTube. I don't know if that's... I know you like on Instagram and Twitter you do, but I don't know if that's a YouTube thing. I don't know, dude. Yeah, none of his videos seem to have enough
having views. All these followers, and you don't have an audience though.
Now, like his Spider-Man ones, I guess. I mean, maybe it's because they're just doing full videos of comic books, and if it's a comic book nobody fucking wanted to see, they're not going to watch your video. I guess. So, like the Spider-Man have good views. I don't know. I'm going to stop, but I'm going to click off the shit. Otherwise, it's going to pollute my feed forever. Comics in 60 seconds. Comic recaps in 60 seconds. Okay, that's that guy's thing. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, we'll see how that. I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but also. If you want to read Dreadstar instead, let's read Dreadstar.
Well, I mean, in addition, we can do both. Yeah. You know, it's not an either or. Another thing, too, is in June, the Across the Spider-Verse comes out. And I figure since we completely neglected Into the Spider-Verse and ended up being actually very good, that we'd probably try to hit onto both of them at once right as the second one's coming out as a mea culpa.
Yeah. Wait, when does that come out?
June. First week of June.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
And then, of course, at some point, since I'm still prepping doing the Terminator stuff for next year, I don't want to be having to worry about scheduling. So it's like at some point we'll watch the Terminator and talk about the Terminator movies, you know, and then I can thread that through the comic book discussions.
And then when you say watch the Terminator movies,
yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm just like with the alien stuff, I'm covering the comics, not the movies.
Okay, good.
So it's like, I don't feel like we have to, I mean, I might, as the person who's doing the podcast at some point, have to go in and do like Salvation and shit, but not as its own episode, just to like refresh my memory. I don't think I'm committed enough to the property to actually watch like the Sarah Connor Chronicles or any of that shit. But at the very least, the first two movies, we kind of have to, you know, you got to talk about those two. Those are the classics. That's the canon there.
Right on.
And literally they're by canon.
I still don't think I've read anything more than that Simonson stuff.
No, but that's just it. I'm not trying to, I mean, we'll see what happens as far as who does what on the comic book stuff. But I know just talking about the property is all I'm talking about, you know, and probably you have to talk about the first movie. You have to talk about the second movie. But the thing is, most of the comics land between the second and third movies. And they did do a comic adaptation of the third movie, but it pretty much stops there. I don't think they acknowledge the other movies in comic book form. So it's, and of course the rights get fucked up around that time too. But I'm not at this point trying to force any reading. I know that Fixit has some of this stuff and he wanted to talk about some of it. I don't think anybody's going to want to read the Now shit and talk to me about that. So I'm figuring I'm going to do that on my own. So my thoughts are, okay, I'll talk about the shitty comic books and then splice it in with us talking about the movie stuff, which will be the good shit to help me carry the shittiness of the comic books.
So there was an Aliens versus Predator versus Terminator?
Wow. Yeah. That was more in the 2000s, I think, though. So I haven't made it nearly that far yet.
Ripley's in it. No shit. Wow. Sounds insane.
Except which Ripley is the question there?
No, I don't know.
The clone?
Oh, it says it involves Ripley 8.
Okay, so probably a clone.
Yeah. And Call from Alien Resurrection.
Yeah.
Weird one.
Well, that's cool. At least there's some kind of continuation of that. I wasn't sure if anybody ever did anything after Resurrection or that or just ended with its, you know, vague little, you know, bullshit ending. So
Terminator 1. I found somebody's top 10 list for the best Terminator comics.
Okay. What's on the list? I'm curious.
Okay, let's see. This is from AVP Central.
Okay.
Number one is The Terminator Tempest from, I don't know when this came out.
I think that's what they retitled the first miniseries, the Chris Warner one from the 89-90 thereabouts.
It was a comic released before Terminator 2 and builds on the first Terminator in interesting ways. Then Terminator 3 Before the Rise is number 9. AVP VT is number 8. Terminator 2 Nuclear Twilight is number 7. Mm-hmm. That's a Malibu comic joint. RoboCop versus the Terminator. That's a Dynamite joint.
No, it's not. Simonson one? The Biller Simonson? I think Dynamite reprinted it.
Yes.
But I think that was really Dark Horse.
Published 92 is written by Frank Miller.
Yeah. Yep,
that's it. Well, then why do they have that shitty cover? The fuck? Number 5 is The Terminator Death Valley. In Death Valley, a male and female Terminator are sent back in time to kill John Connor at age 5. I don't know when that came out.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one either. Does it have a creator on it anywhere?
Say it again.
Does it have a creator credit anywhere in the synopsis?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one that is.
And their Amazon link? Their Amazon link just takes you to an omnibus.
Yeah.
So,
it's probably Dark Terminator Horse 2 at least, though. If there's an omnibus, I think only Dark Horse has ever done omnibuses for Terminator. They're the only people that have the Terminator license long enough to have enough comic books to put into an omnibus. Well, no, now it could have done an omnibus. They had enough issues.
I don't know. It doesn't fucking, let me see, look inside. Yeah, I'll look inside. Dark Horse, yeah. Yep, you were correct.
Yeah, because I mean, now I had enough comic books, but they predated omnibuses, and I don't know what the rights are on any of those comic books anymore.
Hunters and Killers, Endgame, Suicide Run, Death Valley, and the Dark Years. Does it tell me who, how long do I get to scroll through here? It's not going to give me enough.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
Well, I was curious too. Let me see. Number 4 is Terminator 2 Infinity.
Okay.
Terminator 2 Infinity, also just known as Terminator Infinity, is part of the Terminator 3 continuity. Jesus Christ. Number 3 is the Terminator One Shot. That's a fucking cool ass cover.
The Matt Wagner one.
I'll take your word for it. They don't talk about creators here. Yeah. Fucking weird.
That's the one with the Hallmark card pop-up, the pop-up in the middle of the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Terminator 2, or number 2 is Terminator Salvation, The Final Battle by, it's a Straczynski book.
Mm-hmm.
And the number 1 is Terminator The Burning Earth by Ron Fortier and Alex Ross.
Yeah. I'm sure the art has a lot to do with that too, though.
Yeah, totally could be.
I mean, this is still pre-Marvel's Alex Ross, so he wasn't at near the level he was going to get to in terms of the quality, but it's still a short painted piece and did a really good job of reflecting the aesthetic of the movies, which is going to turn people on. So
then in Reddit, some dude says you got to get Nuclear Twilight, which was one from that list, and then Cybernetic Dawn.
Yeah.
Cybernetic Dawn is,
those are both Malibu.
Place, yeah. Cybernetic Dawn takes place literally seconds after the end of Terminator 2 and follows John and Sarah dealing with the aftermath of the film. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The artwork is both firmly entrenched in the 90s. I love that description. Huge fan of that. I just, you know, for Terminator having such a small, like, footprint in the sci-fi comic book universe, the continuity is fucking a mess, dude. Right. Like, it is such a fucking shit show, and it's like, you have no business having fucked up your continuity so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it still has the same problem that you had with the Alien stuff, where the lore isn't firm, and you're trying to build upon what you have, what you know, and then the movies, like, the red line contradict half of what you end up doing, and so that's just going to splinter your continuity in a pretty bad way. I don't know that the Now comics are in that bad of a shape, because they so much of it takes place during the actual war with the machines. So they're somewhat divorced from the movie continuity, where the Dark Horse stuff is very much, you know, immediately before Terminator 2, and then Terminator 2 does stuff that I think maybe counters what they were doing, or they were trying to, like, not do anything. I don't know. It's working around that's the problem with Terminator, is the premise is so centered upon Sarah and John Connor that people don't like it when you get away from that. But the only thing you can do to actually expand the lore is to get away from those two characters, because their story is pretty thoroughly told in the movies. And the movies, of course, have their issues with continuity as well. So it's just poisonous. But also, when you know that the main battle is John Connor's going to defeat the machines, so why does anything else matter? That's one of the areas where Terminator has problems. Like, well, why are we following Joe Blow's story? You know, what do we care? You know, what does that matter? Or you have to try to say that they didn't defeat the machines, and then the movies are fighting you on that. So it's like, it's a difficult one to pull off. Aliens is a lot easier, because really all you need is the xenomorph, and then you can do whatever the fuck you want to. And, you know, it's not like a war where they're, you know, we're going back to their home planet and fighting them and shit, although they've done that. But it's like, you can tell whatever kind of story you want to. All you need is a xenomorph, and figure out, is it going to be funny? Is it going to be sad? Is it going to be scary? You know, you're dealing with a problem. So Alien is almost like a circumstance within whatever kind of narrative you're trying to do. Where with Terminator, there's much more of a lore, because if you're being chased by a Terminator, why is this Terminator chasing after you? If you're in the war with the machines, well, it's like, okay, great, we can tell a side story, but you can't help but be anything but a side story. And you're very conscious of the diminished stakes, because we already know the main story is with John Connor. So it's tricky.
Yeah, I'm looking at RoboCop versus Terminator. I definitely bought issues 1 and 2 off the newsstand. I don't know if I ever found 3 and 4. Mm. Now that I'm looking at the covers, 1 and 2, 100%. Those covers are burned into my brain. But
yeah, and I figure we'll have to do a little side trip into RoboCop before we get to that too, because RoboCop has a footprint in comics as well. Not a big footprint, but enough of one to acknowledge.
I would argue RoboCop 1 is better than any Terminator movie.
I would definitely fight you on that. But then again, I haven't seen RoboCop all the way through in a long time. So
I think RoboCop 1 may be more relevant today than you may remember.
Oh yeah. Very well possibly could be. And the truth is, when I saw RoboCop theatrically, I was really put off by the violence and just like the snarkiness, what am I looking for? It was just so cynical that I had trouble with it at the time. I'm much more of a cynical person now than I was when I saw RoboCop the first time. And so I might be able to groove with it better than I did then.
Just think of what OCP is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a militarized police force using military technology backed by private corporations.
Right.
It is fucking, that literally won't let a man die to get out of work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like they've enslaved this man. He died and all they did is took an opportunity to fucking make him work for them forever. Like there are no undertones like that. Terminator is very, it's fucking, we fucked up and made some machines
right.
that are killing us, and we got to go back in time and stop the machines before they stop us or whatever. Like, it's very straightforward.
You have a single key point of relevance there, because we're always afraid that, oh no, the AI is coming, you know, the machines are coming. It's basically just, everything is about, we're afraid of the machines, we're afraid of technology, we're afraid of computers, and right. that's the common touchstone over and over again, where RoboCop is like, is reflecting our entire world. It's like, you've got so many different points of reference that are still relevant today, and increasingly relevant, in fact, horrifyingly so.
Exactly. And then, you know, honestly, it's more brutal than fucking Terminator 2.
Absolutely.
I don't mean Terminator 2, obviously more than Terminator 2, yeah. Terminator also, yeah. But especially the fucking unrated cut yeah. of RoboCop is outrageous, dude. Fucking outrageous.
And again, I'm much more of a gore hound today than I was when I saw that movie theatrically, so I think that's part of the problem as well. Shit, if you can't finally get the wife to watch the shit, maybe you and I just need to sit down and watch the Arrow video and be done with it.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I'm going to try and get her to. Maybe I'll get her to watch tomorrow, because now that Last of Us is over, we can our Sundays are cleared out.
Yeah, but we still haven't caught up. I think we were up to 5 or 6, but with her work schedule, she's not wanting to commit to however fucking long this particular episode decides it's going to want to be. You know, that's one issue we've had this. With the show is I appreciate that they're telling the story they're going to tell, and they're going to take time they need to tell that story, but it's not very respectful of my time, because I have no idea going into this thing whether I'm getting a 48-minute episode, an hour 15, a 90-minute. You know, they're just going to do whatever the fuck they want to do, and it's not their concern whether or not I have the time or am willing to make the investment that they're expecting from me from episode to episode.
Yeah, I will say that if you made it to 5 or past 5, none of them are over an hour.
Okay.
And in fact, the last episode is the shortest episode of the entire season.
Okay.
Well, if you can believe it or not. I mean, and even then, so then you would think, well, 8's the penultimate, so it's probably the longest. Nope. not the second to last episode either. The runtime's, dude, when episode 9 ended, I was like, what? Why are there fucking credits? That was it. We just fucking sat down. It's fucking 43 minutes. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, I'd be curious to hear your view on the show.
Yeah. Like I said, we've enjoyed it so far. It's definitely its own thing, which I respect it for. But I want to say, I think the last episode we actually sat down to watch was the one with the deaf kid. I think that's where he left off.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah. So
it gets weird.
Yeah. Well, it was always a little weird. But, you know, but yeah, we'll hold off. We'll talk about that soon. Do you know if Fixit's watching that?
Yeah, I think I think he finished it. I think.
They said the Robert Evans, like, it's different people's takes on what happened. It's still pretty good. It was fun. I liked it. I'm watching Picard. Picard season 2 is pretty cool.
I hear 3 is a real fucking nostalgia fest. I know a lot of people didn't like Picard season 2, but what I'm hearing is 3 is like going for all the member berries.
Fryhole texted me like at middle of the night and was like, season 3 is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And he's usually asleep, so I'm going to binge watch the fuck out of that like on a weekend.
Because I actually heard 2 was not very good. I heard people really didn't like Picard 2.
That's okay. I mean,
we had it for free for like a week or two there, so I got through a chunk of the first season of Picard, never went back, so I'm not enough. I love Trek up to a point, but I'm really more of a movie guy. With the exception of Deep Space Nine, like watching the series.
What's that thing?
When I was a kid and all I had was broadcast, then I would watch the shit. Now in the streaming with all the other shit that I do, it's like it's hard for me to watch 12 episodes, 20 episodes,
I'm trying to be careful what I catch like on YouTube. Some assholes have leaked some stuff.
We still have it.
Deep Space Nine, they got some of that shit into Picard.
Good.
I don't want to tell you because when I heard, I'm like, well, fuck, man, I don't want to know that. Yeah. But I'm like,
well, my understanding is a lot of it is tied into the Dominion War. Like, there's a lot of stuff from the Dominion Wars in there. And what's also.
But they're pulling, like, not just generations, they pull in fucking deep space.
Yeah.
I did see the fucking scene where they go and they have, like, the Starship Museums and they're showing, like, fucking Voyager and shit. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. That was pretty fucking cool. So I'm like, like I said, season 3, I just want it to end and I'm just going to fucking binge it. I'm just
going to sit there and watch it. Yeah. And they're about an hour.
Yeah.
They run about 4 minutes. Yeah. 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 It's
one of those. I won't lie, dude. They go pretty fast.
That's about 12-ish, I think.
And in my understanding is season 3, you don't have to watch the first 2.
Oh, yeah, it'd be 36 hours or an hour apiece. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's truth.
Well, you don't really have to see the first 2, my understanding, for the third one. The third one, they do allude to the other seasons, but it's not like crucial.
Yeah.
But yeah, a friend of mine, she's into Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And she's creaming all over it. She's just like, are you watching it? And I said, well, I've seen a little bit. She's like, and I said, stop. I said, I usually fucking spoil shit for people. You need to stop right now because I actually want to see this.
Right.
I don't want it spoiled for me. I actually want to enjoy it. So
I'm not big into comic books for like Star Wars, Star Trek, that kind of thing. But IDW, and by the way, I really find this concerning. I've talked about Dark Horse before. I understand that Dark Horse is fine because they sell great in the bookstore market. They don't sell great in the comic book markets, the retail stores, comics retail. And so Dark Horse is not a premier publisher with Diamond anymore. If you look at the new previews the last few months, Dark Horse is just another fucking section in the regular comic books, you know? Yeah. It threw me off because, like, why are there Dark Horse books here? And I flipped back to the front of the premiere section, like, oh shit, this is the Dark Horse section now. IDW also. And I was wondering about IDW because for several months in a row, they had no covers. They would just show cover to come or cover not approved by a licensor or some bullshit like that. IDW's in the back, under I now. So I find that a little concerning because I think, you know, as far as the fact that the premiere section shrinks and they're not anything being replaced, you know, that just means that there are less comics selling well enough for it to be worth the bother to be a premier publisher. And especially since Marvel and DC are no longer in the previews, that really just leaves a few publishers that are, you know, merit that special attention. So
I don't think that bodes great for monthly comic books. I think the bookstores will continue to sell the bookstores. And I think that's one of the reasons why DC pulled out of Lunar. And now they're going to be distributed by Penguin, just like Marvel is. And so the whole thing with going with Penguin is that's going to give you bookstore penetration. And then the comic book stores become sort of an afterthought. So kind of worrying. But I bring up IDW because they've got some new Star Trek stuff coming out that's actually somewhat intrigued me. I haven't bought it yet, yeah. But I'm actually considering it. And one of the ones I think is really cool is they've got one called Star Trek Defiant. And you remember the Defiant from Deep Space Nine, right?
Yeah.
That's the one where I remember the one customer of mine from when I was at the old shop, he would tell me about how he loved the Defiant because it was all jets and guns. And there's just nothing else to it. It was just like a power punching little ship. Well, it was stolen by Worf because Worf's son has gotten drawn into a cult and he's trying to save his son from the cult. And so he has to get a crew to staff the Defiant. So he's got Lore, the evil version of Data.
Yeah.
He's got Spock, the original timeline Spock. You know, well, I mean, Star Trek Deep Space Nine is part of the original timeline. So the Spock that was present in the Next Generation, the old Elder Spock. He's got Ensign Ro. I mean, she's not an ensign anymore, you know, who else? He got some other person I'm not familiar with. And so they're going rogue and going off and they're stealing a ship and they're having, you know, this adventure and stuff. It's like, that's a really intriguing crew you got there. I kind of want to read that shit. And apparently they've got another Deep Space Nine series going as well, and that's always been my favorite. So it's like, okay, you guys
are ready for Dark Horse Presents,
right? Well, no, IDW presents.
IDW.
Well,
I'm sure they've lost a lot of their licensing because Hasbro is starting to do their own shit.
Hasbro pulled their shit. Yeah,
they pulled G.I. Joe, Transformers, all their stuff.
So and I don't, that hasn't come back out yet, unless Titan is. Because
they
the
did
new
this
one.
Weird thing where they did like they were doing these weird like
crossovers, like the zombies for infestation.
Ghostbusters and like really.
They didn't have the Scooby-Doo license, so it wouldn't have been that.
I did like the Hanna-Barbera one. I thought that was kind of neat.
That's DC, though.
Was it?
Yeah. DC owns Hanna-Barbera, so they're the ones who were having, like, Batman meeting. Jonah Hex and Yosemite Sam and shit like that.
No, no, no. This was just strictly all Hanna, like, Space Ghost, the Hercules. Your
right, Future Quest. That was at DC.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think you've still got my first volume of that.
By the way, they did officially rename it just Max now.
Yeah.
Oh, HBO Max is now Max.
Yeah, HBO anymore.
Max.
Which is the stupidest thing to build.
I didn't say anything about HBO Max. I was talking about DC, but okay.
Well, DC's owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And they're so.
I threw this out there on Twitter. I'm wondering if maybe HBO is like, we don't want to be associated with all this shit. You're hurting our brand. Well, fucking Discovery shit on our.
I read a good thing. Yeah. So their big push is, well, now you get HBO and all the,
Discovery Channel bullshit.
No, well, the unscripted or scripted live
reality shows.
Yeah. Right? The problem is the people who watch that shit don't watch HBO,
right? And vice versa,
HBO people don't watch that shit.
Yeah,
so
they're not compatible brands.
You're gonna have to go through fucking reams and reams of shows to get to something to watch.
Yeah, I think there's an awareness that HBO's branding has value, and they didn't want to associate HBO as they're turning this into a shitty, cheap.
Streaming
services are golden.
Yeah, I've been streaming
HBO. When they were HBO Go was still pretty fucking cool. Like they had good shit.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they're trying to. All there is about money.
Wait, did you guys ever watch Last? You guys finish Last of Us?
I haven't yet.
Jesus Christ!
It's not my fault. My girlfriend fucking stopped going to fucking watch shows. She's been working so damn much. She wouldn't watch any of it. I have to wait for her to catch up with me and decide she wants to actually watch some shit.
I'm still pissed with you. We were supposed to go see Planet of the Apes, the original one. I said, hey, let's go see Planet of the Apes.
Original one.
Oh, I'm sorry. The remake, the first one of the remakes. And
are you literally going to travel through time?
I can't go because she hasn't seen it. I'm like, don't fucking care. I want to see it now. Can't go. And not without her. I was just like, oh, you motherfucker. You made me see it by myself.
Sorry.
Are you talking about the Tim Burton one?
No, not the Tim Burton one.
Was too far back then.
Actually, I like what I'm hearing about the new ones coming out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, this sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, the teaser looked good, so we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
I didn't see the teaser.
There's some kind of teaser out there, as I recall. Because I think we're showing them on the horses again.
Oh, real quick, the Penguin teaser was fucking badass.
I knew you'd love that. I'm kind of into it, you know?
Well, wasn't he kind of like a sociopath like that in the original book?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. What was cool about the Penguin is why I didn't like it when they started having it. Like, again, as much as I love Batman Returns, then making him kind of a freaky, gothy kind of thing, that's not who the Penguin was in the early stories. What set the Penguin apart in the early stories was he was the gangster. He was the actual perfectly sane, ruthless, killing people like a motherfucker gangster.
And they just called him the Penguin.
And he was just the Penguin. Yeah, and it was until like later on they really got into the Umbrellas and the Silver Age. Everybody softened the Silver Age because again, the thing they forget is that because of the Comics Code Authority, the Joker kind of disappeared for a long time there. And so you had to rely on the other villains because they didn't have him anymore. They didn't have access to him because he was too horrific an image, right? And so that's when you get all the trick umbrellas and shit. But before that, no, the Penguin was just the gangster. He was their Scarface, their Al Capone, whatever. And of course, Burgess Meredith had his iconic performance, and that was what Danny DeVito was riffing off of. And then the cartoon kind of riffed off of what Danny DeVito did. And so it got further and further away from where he originated from. But no, he was just the gangster. He was the one straight up gangster guy. But he was obviously, he had a gimmick, which sets him apart from like a Carmine and Falcon.
You know why they did him like that? Mm. It's not because, oh, they're going to go nature. The Batman video game, when the Penguin shows up, he's a garms dealer. He doesn't use fucking umbrellas.
Right.
He uses guns.
Right.
And he's basically a fat gangster with a crooked nose, and they call him the Penguin because of the way he walks, because he's hurt.
And that's one of the things I liked, is I guess he got injured so badly in the Batman that now he's got that little waddle going, and that's why they would call him the Penguin. It's like, hey, cool, I'm going with that.
They kind of got that from I hate to say, but the TV show, the Batman kid TV show, where the Penguin would like walk with a limp, and that's why they called him a Penguin, because I thought that was kind of cool.
The Penguin did seem to be one of the bright spots, and you're not alone in liking Gotham. You know, they definitely have defenders and fans and stuff.
Well, it got cool near the end. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what I got fucking caught up in? Uh-huh. I watched the first episode of Stargirl. Fuck, dude, that was actually kind of cool.
Because that's representing a period of Justice Society stories I'm not super into, I didn't watch it. But definitely there's an allure to seeing Dr. Midnight and Wildcat and stuff.
Dude, Eclipso. They showed Solomon Grundy, dude. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
so that was the first episode. So I was like, so I might keep HBO or fucking Max, whatever, just a little longer.
It's on broadcast television, too.
Yeah, but they have it on Max, seasons.
Well, I thought they didn't. Didn't they used to have it on Netflix, too, or did that deal expire? I think they used to have it.
The only thing they have on Netflix now is like fucking, shit, I don't even know what they have on Netflix. Supernatural. Like, no, that's not WB, though.
Well, no, that was WB.
No, they had like The Flash.
Yeah. They had a deal where it was like
Tomorrow or whatever. Supergirl.
They just didn't get Stargirl. Because Stargirl was originally going to be a DC Universe show, and then they got it onto the CW as well, as I recall.
Because
Doom Patrol was always just DC Universe, and then,
I need to watch this last season.
Yeah, I need to as well.
This is the last season,
right? Yes, it's the last season. Yeah.
Fuck, I want to own it. I love that whole fucking show.
Okay.
You now have 15 seconds to comply. You are in direct violation.
Between the Pages blog, Chris Dunford, Chris Lydon, Dear Watchers, A Comics Omniverse Podcast, Ed Moore, Gregory Litchfield, Hawkoff, History of Comics on Film, Iowa's Joe Is, Irredeemable Shag, Julia Rowell, Keith G. Baker, King Dinosaur, Martin Gray, Maxo, Randy Caldwell, Relatively Geeky Podcast Network, Resurrections, A Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Scott X, Superbound, and Talk Nerdy to Me. Finally, Billy Hines wrote, Running Theme, Frank accuses Fixes of not returning loans. Fixit denies. Updated. Returned in bags. Implication. Attempted incorporation into Fixit's collection. Cases building. Everybody.